and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is the CBS News World News Roundup, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. We begin with a warning from former President Donald Trump's former chief of staff. John Kelly tells the New York Times he witnessed behavior that leads him to believe that if Mr. Trump is elected again, he'll rule like a, quote, dictator. A Trump campaign spokesperson is dismissing the interview. He tells the Times Kelly beclowned himself. Correspondent Jared Hill is on the campaign trail.
We're going to win North Carolina.
Former President Donald Trump was back in the Tar Heel State Tuesday for the second day in a row, slamming Vice President Kamala Harris.
She's totally unfit for office.
And the retired generals who served in his administration.
What a stupid group of people they were. Mattis, Milley.
Harris traded the campaign stage for sit-down interviews, telling NBC News she won't compromise on abortion rights.
I don't think we should be making concessions when we're talking about a fundamental freedom to make decisions about your own body.
Serious problems with a seriously popular hamburger.
This is the Quarter Pounder with cheese.
The CDC says more than four dozen E. coli infections and at least one death are linked to McDonald's burger, some tied to slivered onions on top. Darren Detweiler's son died after an E. coli outbreak at a Jack in the Box in the 90s.
You have to be doing testing. You have to be doing proper refrigeration and proper prevention of cross-contamination and proper testing to make sure that these things don't happen because they don't cook the onions.
Quarter pounders have been taken off menus in 10 states. A possible vaccine against the most common cause of gastroenteritis. CBS's Vicky Barker from London.
The norovirus sickens nearly 700 million people worldwide each year, kills 200,000, and costs countries billions in healthcare.
The aim of this trial and this part of the work is to find a vaccine that protects those most at risk.
Professor Saul Faust says the phase three trials will mostly involve volunteers in half a dozen countries over the next 2 years.
Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg announced a record $50 million fine against American Airlines this morning over the way it's treated passengers with disabilities.
Between 2019 and 2023, the airline provided unsafe and undignified physical assistance to passengers on a number of occasions.
A scare on a packed Delta flight about to take off from Boston for Rome.
Engine fire. Engine fire. Engine fire. Number one engine.
Passengers braced when a fire broke out in an engine.
You heard a big boom. It sounded almost like a tire blow. And then the flame. He saw the flame.
The plane returned to the gate. No injuries reported. S&P futures are down 15. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
James here, host of Unlabeled, your 90s mixtape, every Sunday from 8 to 9 on WFHR. It's your weekly dose of music, nostalgia, and pop culture exclusively on locally grown radio.
Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Former President Barack Obama was in Wisconsin Tuesday. He was at a rally at Madison's Alliant Energy Center with Governor Tim Walz. The goal was to rally voters on the first day of early voting.
It is not just policies that are on the ballot. It is who we are and what we stand for.
There were so many people who attended that rally at the Alliant Energy Center that there were major traffic backups, even causing some school buses to be delayed. We have new data on gun violence here in Wisconsin. Here's Terry Bell.
A new study finds 830 people in Wisconsin were killed by guns in 2022. That includes homicides and suicides. That's more people than died in car crashes. The numbers come from the Wisconsin Anti-Violence Effort Education Fund. More than three-fourths of people shot to death in Wisconsin were Black.
And that's what you need to know. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. This is Civic Media News.
The Badgers brace for Penn State. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. College football, the Wisconsin Badgers host Penn State Saturday night. The number three ranked team in the nation, quarterback Braden Locke asked, does it help that they've played top ranked teams like USC or Alabama already this season?
To be out there against a very talented Alabama team, to be out there against a very talented USC team, I think it's helped our team grow and I think it's helped us mature. You know, I'm growing each and every week. I'm not naive to think that I'm not still, you know, young. I think I've had seven or eight starts. So I think you learn and you grow each and every week.
NBA, the Bucks in Philly tonight against the 76ers. Torian Prince asked if the Bucks are ready to kick off the season.
I feel like we're ready. Obviously, having experience in the game, knowing that those are going to come, staying level-headed, taking advantage of the highs, and then when things do get lower, adversity hits, being able to weather the storm as fast as possible.
That's the Bucks' new forward, Torian Prince. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
It is going to be mostly sunny and quite a bit cooler today with a high right around 50 this afternoon. Tonight, clear with a low in the low 30s. Tomorrow, with a little sun in the morning, then becoming mostly cloudy, breezy, some showers in the afternoon with a high in the low 60s. After that, a sunny, pleasant weekend. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 51.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. Our old friends Pat Kreitlow of Up North News Radio and Trigby Olson of the Lincoln Project stop by. Be here.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays noon till 2.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Unabashedly Wisconsin and brought to you by Courier Newsroom, this is Up North News Radio. Carried by our friends here on the Civic Media Radio Network, good morning, it is 7:06. 13 days to go here until the election on this Wednesday morning, October 23rd, which is also National Medical Assistant Day, National Paralegal Day, National Boston Cream Pie Day, and National Crocs Day. Meteorologist Brittany Merlot is here along with Greg Bach down at Radio Park. Where are we on Crocs?
Pro
Crocs. Brittany?
I have zero Crocs.
You have zero Crocs. I am definitely in the category of idiots who said, oh, Crocs, oh, gross, oh, icky, and then I wore some.
Yeah. They make your body feel amazing.
Yeah, so there's our free ad for them today. Apparently, that's why they get a national day.
So, they really need our help.
Yeah. I'm glad we could put them over the top here. Good morning from Tigerton, writes Rob. It's partly cloudy and 50 with a wind chill of 46. Damn it, Rob. No. We're not doing wind chill yet. Winds are picked up overnight. He says, I've got a meeting and doctor's appointments in Shawnee today. We do need the rain. I talked to farmers. They are worried about an early snowstorm that it will flatten the corn before it can be combined. Perhaps, but I mean, at least out here in Chippewa County, they're working those fields really hard. I'd have a tough time believing it wouldn't get all combined beforehand, but there might be some wetter areas out there where they didn't get there quite as fast. I don't know. So, Brittany, with that being said, a few raindrops here and there?
Yeah, just a trace for a good chunk of northern Wisconsin yesterday. The cold front has pushed through now. We've got those winds whipping. I mean, we've got them sustained at 21 miles per hour in Wisconsin Rapids at the moment, gusting up to 35 miles per hour. So that's going to be the case today. It's pulling out of the northwest. Temperatures are not going to rise much. Right now, we're in the low 40s up north to low 60s further south in the state. Like Rob had mentioned, there is a slight wind chill up north. It does feel like the mid-30s at times. So bundle up, right? We're changing into the regular temperatures where we should be for this time of year. In fact, highs are hitting exactly average today. We're only going to make it to the low to mid-50s statewide. And we put those winds on top of it, feeling a little worse there. But we do have rain rolling in by Thursday night and into Friday morning. And it does look pretty decent. We could see anywhere from a quarter of an inch to a half an inch widespread across the state. And some areas could get close to an inch. And it really looks like those areas that could get higher amounts are the areas in a higher drought. So hopefully this storm does exactly what it wants to do. That again moves in Thursday night and into Friday. And we hold on to those temperatures kind of steady in the upper 50s to low 60s for the rest of the week.
All right, Brittany, thank you so much. Appreciate it. Have a great day.
You're welcome. You too.
Meteorologist Brittany Merlot there. Also noting from Roger out in Stevens Point, sad to hear of the passing of former Dodger pitching great Fernando Valenzuela. I remember his stellar 1981 season when he won Rookie of the Year, the Cy Young, and a World Series ring with one of the greatest rookie years in pro sports history. Again, if you're a little too young to remember Fernando Mania, I don't know quite how to describe it, but I mean, you see this guy, it's one of those once in a generation stars. And of course, as always happens, they burn out a little bit too early. But boy, when he was on his game, he was just a joy to watch pitch and had a real love for the game as well. And I'm sure that will inspire the Dodgers a bit as they start the World Series this week against the Yankees. I see you got your Brewer shirt on there, Greg. So does that indicate that that's close enough to Dodger blue that you're sporting the Dodgers in this World Series or the Yankees?
I guess I'm just interested in seeing Shohei get a ring. That's about it. I find a Dodgers-Yankees World Series to be among the most boring lineups, period. Like, oh boy, the two biggest teams in each league are going to the World Series. Bleh.
Ooh. Yeah, I would favor the Dodgers again just for Ohtani to get that ring after all those years with the Angels and getting nothing.
Yeah.
So just to go across town and get that would be a nice thing, though. I mean, I admire Aaron Judge, you know, as well over on the Yankees. I admire some. These guys have good talent, and they seem to be good people. I always hasten to add that we don't really know
this here. But Pat Kreitlow defends Aaron Judge. Did you hear what Aaron Judge did?
See, that's just it. Aaron Judge turns out to be like a milkshake duck effect over here. So let's hope not. All right. Coming up later this hour, we will be talking to Heather Dubois-Bornon from the Wisconsin Public Education Network and Lisa Lucas from All In Wisconsin, talking about a coalition of groups dedicated to disrupting dog whistles and overcoming misinformation as they work to improve education, pursue racial justice, and protect voting rights. So they've got their hands full to take care of all of that. Coming up next hour on the Earl Ingram Show on some of these civic media stations, Senator Tammy Baldwin will be Earl's guest in the 8 a.m. hour. Matinee on Air with Greg Bach and Jane Matinee coming up at 10:30. Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez will be joining the program as well. So a lot to watch today, but we've had a lot to watch the past several days here. We've had so many VIPs coming through the area, and Up North News reporter Elizabeth Montemurro is among the people who are in those press gaggles and in those crowds. At first, it's like, oh, hey, this VIP is coming to town. And then another, and then another. And Elizabeth, good morning. I guess this is just Wisconsin's way of being popular.
That's exactly right, Pat. And I'm not singing Wicked.
Okay, that's okay.
At this hour, but I'll hum it.
So where all have you been? There's been more than a few of these events with Barack Obama and Tim Walz yesterday at the Dane County Coliseum for early voting. You've had the folks at the top in the middle of the ticket. You've had surrogates. I mean, have you gotten a scrapbook yet to keep track of everything you're doing this year?
I really should start one, but I've attended three events in the last 4 days, and I just saw this morning there's more folks coming to town later this week. So who knows what the rest of the week will bring, but it's been an all-star lineup coming to the state with, less than 14 days to go now. And Saturday, the cast of The West Wing was in Waukesha County.
Yes.
They kicked off a canvas with the Waukesha County Dems, really fired them up and sent them on their way to go do the work of democracy. This was also before they had planned speaking events, as there is a new West Wing book that is out.
Yes. I have not dropped nearly as many hints as I should with certain daughters of mine about a Christmas list wish list. West Wing book is there. It. Watch this as I send that telepathically to both girls right now. Continue, Elizabeth. So the West Wing cast was here. They were at the Waukesha County Dems office. And Bradley Whitford, of course, the Madison native, he kind of went over and above, just what the West Wing cast was doing.
Exactly. I think really kicked off the theme that I've been seeing the last few days, and that, the stakes are high in this election. Here's what Bradley Whitford had to say.
I always say the fakest thing about West Wing actually was not my veneers. It's that we had rational Republicans. Yes. If I walked into the writer's room and said, hey, how about the guy we're running against, like a spray tanned 37 felonies, adjudicated rapist who mocks the service of, who calls people who gave their lives for this country suckers and losers, who mocks the disabled, who has contempt for women, who wants to take us back to the 1860s.
Yeah, and that was, he then gave very spirited remarks in at the Coliseum yesterday, ahead of the rally. And he's been a pretty reliable presence every 4 years at these rallies, getting his fellow Wisconsinites, fired up and ready to go, as they say.
Exactly. He could not have been a prouder Wisconsinite. I've seen him a couple times come through the state over the years, and the passion seems to just grow the longer that he's lived outside of the state.
Yes. And when you mentioned rational Republicans, I mean, my thoughts immediately went to John Goodman, who played the Republican Speaker of the House, Glenn Allen Walken. And the drama when he had to temporarily take over the duties of president. Now, he was the Bartlett administration's arch nemesis. I mean, they were butting heads on everything. But when there was a national crisis and it was up to the speaker to, take over the presidency for a short time, I mean, again, they didn't agree on everything, but the guy didn't like appoint himself dictator or anything like that. And Bradley Whitford's words are true. This is not the Republican Party of today is definitely not what we've seen portrayed or lived with in a previous time.
Exactly. I remember that episode, Pat. They had to, he served for what, like 3 days?
Yeah.
And then passed along the torch.
Yeah. Did the responsible thing. So that leads us to another Republican. That would be Liz Cheney, the former congresswoman from Wyoming, who, to put it mildly, has been put through the ringer simply for being, one of those Republicans with principle, looking at Donald Trump and saying quite candidly, this guy's not a Republican. He's not a conservative. He's, a wannabe dictator. And so when we come back from the break, Elizabeth's going to play the bite from Liz Cheney's visit. She's been campaigning with Vice President Kamala Harris in Wisconsin and Michigan and Pennsylvania. So we'll talk about the themes that were echoed there. And then we'll hear from former President Barack Obama also talking about, the values that any Americans should espouse, whatever their party affiliation, there still should be certain norms that we all respect, especially that one called democracy. At least I happen to think so. Checking on sports here really quick. The Milwaukee Bucks open up their season tonight in Philadelphia without forward Chris Middleton. The 3-time All-Star continues to recover from off-season surgeries to each of his ankles. And so the Bucks will be starting without him as they get their season going. All right, we'll pause right here. And again, we'll continue with Elizabeth Montemaro talking about the VIPs that continue coming through Wisconsin over these final 13 days. Remember, early voting is underway. Head to upnorthnewswi.com or civicmedia.us and click on the voting guides there to learn the details on voting early and on supporting the candidates of your choice. This is Up North News Radio, live from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Matt Nair on air.
This is an important announcement for Wisconsinites who plan to vote in the November 2024 election. Leading nonpartisan economists have analyzed the economic plans of Donald Trump and concluded that he would cause inflation to rise and the economy to slow. And 16 Nobel Prize-winning economists wrote a letter warning that Donald Trump would reignite inflation with his fiscally irresponsible budgets. Donald Trump's tariff plan would act as a national sales tax, costing the average family as much as $4,000 per year. But Vice President
Kamala Harris's plan would help middle-class families deal with rising costs. In her first 100 days, Kamala Harris would pass a ban on price gouging at the grocery store. And as vice president, she worked to cap the cost of many prescription drugs, including insulin, saving many families thousands of dollars per year. On the economy, the choice is clear. Vote Kamala Harris for president. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together Action. www.abwt-action.org. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
Everything about advertising can be terrifying to business owners. Don't let that chill go down your spine the next time you hear the word sales. Call me today. I'm Ashley, and I can take the fright out of advertising for your business. With our network abilities in digital, radio, and web, we possess all the tools to make your business successful. Call me today at 715-496-0710. Because here at 97.5 FM WFHR, we want you to succeed.
Do you catch yourself quoting TV shows like that? It could win you a free meal and make you our next star of the day with Culver's. Join the morning show on WFHR every Friday.
What you talking about, Willis?
My name's James, and I'm telling people every Friday we'll play a theme song or a quote from a movie.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give it.
You call 424-2600, give the correct answer, and you'll win a family pack from our Wisconsin Rapids Culver's.
To the Batmobile.
Join the morning show every Friday for Culver's Star of the Day.
I love it when a plan comes together.
You're listening to Locally Grown Radio, WFHR, Tome for the Todd Allball Show.
Come gather around, people, wherever you roam, and admit that the waters around you have grown, and accept it that soon you'll be drenched to the bone. If your time to you is worth saving, then you better start swimming or you'll sink like a stone. For the times, they are a-changing.
Bob Dylan recorded that anthem of his on this day in 1963. This is Up North News Radio for this Wednesday morning, October 23rd. Up North News reporter Elizabeth Montemurrow with us as well. If you'd like to catch up on some more of the unabashedly Wisconsin news that we pass along here, head over to upnorthnewswi.com. Click subscribe in the top banner in today's newsletter, a story about how both Vice President Kamala Harris and Governor Tony Evers have been bringing new ideas to help the elderly, the disabled, and their home caregivers. Finally, people in government recognizing the burden and ways to alleviate it. So again, look for that coming up in our newsletter. All right, Elizabeth is back with us now as we talk about the many VIPs and surrogates and big-name candidates who've been coming through. And we left things off with Liz Cheney, who first appeared with Vice President Harris in Ripon a couple of weeks back, but now was making a visit through three key swing states, including the Brookfield area.
That's right, Pat. You know, this setting this week that Liz and Kamala Harris were at was in Brookfield, so Milwaukee suburbs, and it was a little bit more intimate than the rally in Ripon that I attended a couple weeks ago. This was really a conversation. Charlie Sykes moderated it, and they actually had a mixed audience. There were several Republicans in attendance that admittedly were or are still undecided in this election. And one attendee, who's a teacher, has several daughters, was able to ask a question, and he really just was looking for advice and how Liz Cheney would approach voting this election when she doesn't and has never supported a Democrat before.
Any of us who are around young children, I see it as a mom, my kids aren't so young anymore, but you know, when they look at how elected officials, and in particular how Donald Trump is conducting himself now, that's not a lesson that anybody would look up to. And you have to choose people who have character, choose people of good faith. You know, the framers knew this. The framers knew that it was so important that, you know, we take an oath, but that also fundamentally you had to have people of character. And Donald Trump has proven he's not one of those people by his actions. Like, if you wouldn't hire somebody to babysit your kids, like, you shouldn't make that guy the president of the United States.
This is the thing that's been so interesting about this campaign and the way that things have been kind of turned on their head, is that it's now the Harris-Walz ticket that is seems to be embracing the kind of patriotism that is open and welcoming to all. You have Liz Cheney talking about, you know, trust when it comes to somebody like Donald Trump. And you have Barack Obama in here talking about values. And I remember, it wasn't that long ago when the Republican Party was all the time talking about family values. And I think the former president kind of said, you know, maybe this is the way that we want to go. What impression did you get from his remarks?
I think you're stepping on it, Pat. You know, President Obama talked about really what we've been chatting about these last few minutes, is that it comes down to values. And he didn't say that it was easy to take a look at the values that are presented in front of all of us right now, but we need to maybe have that moment of self-reflection and think about who is running on values and what are those values and character traits presented in front of us.
All right, let's give a listen.
Elections about more than just policies. It's about values. It's about character. Some of you know that when I was growing up, I didn't have a father in the house. Parents divorced when I was two. Didn't really know my father. But I did have people around me. I had a stepfather for a while. I had grandparents, teachers, coaches. Smart my mom. Tried to teach me the difference between right and wrong. Who showed me what it meant to be honest and to work hard and be responsible and to treat people the way I wanted to be treated. And I'll be honest with you, sometimes, like most young people, like teenagers, I didn't always live up to those values. I made mistakes. I tried to learn from them. But I internalized those values, right? And I tried to live up to them. Most of you grew up the same way. And one of the disturbing things about this election, about Trump's rise in politics, is how we seem to have set aside the values that we were taught.
It is downright mysterious that, you know, so many people are backing somebody, you know, if his life were led by a Bill Clinton, a Hillary Clinton, and anybody else, we would have never heard the end of it. But for some reason, Donald Trump's shortcomings in the values and morals department don't seem to matter. But Elizabeth, for the folks that were there and who were with the event with Liz Cheney, I mean, part of it is persuasion. Yes, there's still some people that maybe could be called undecided, but we're really getting to the point now where it's about turnout. It's about motivation. And what you don't hear in those clips is, I mean, the former president got fired up. I mean, he delivered a barn burner by the end of it all. And that is absolutely on purpose, right? When it comes to motivating people and making sure they go do that early vote and bring a friend with them.
Exactly. Obama even said earlier in his remarks, you know, if you want to dip out of here and go early vote, because you can do that now in Wisconsin, go ahead. I don't mind. that's how important this election is and how important voting is, that he's like, skip out.
Yeah, there is. And by the way, Governor Tim Walz was there as well. Unfortunately, there's really only one soundbite that's being played about it, and we can't play it on the radio because of the way that he refers to Elon Musk as a dipstick, we'll say. But that's the kind of campaign we're dealing with, is a very frank-talking Minnesota governor talking about what he's seen on the other side of the ticket there. Elizabeth Montemurro, thank you very much for this and all the work you're doing covering all these great stories. We'll talk to you a little later on.
Thanks, Pat.
All right. When we come back, we're going to hear more about All In Wisconsin, a coalition of groups seeking to fight misinformation and protect education and voting rights. This is Up North News Radio on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Locally grown radio, WFHR. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin.
Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Did you know that Wisconsin leads the nation in cranberry production? I'm Stephanie Hoff for the Midwest Farm Report along with you on a Wednesday. And up next, we're going to visit with a cranberry grower who's been developing new varieties of these bright red berries for over 20 years. Stay tuned.
There I was, driving along when I saw the corn laying down in the field, goosenecked again. Even though I tried everything, new traits, existing soil insecticides. Every corn grower knows the hassle of gooseneck corn, but now there's Narisma Insecticide from BASF, a better, stronger in-furrow insecticide that controls corn rootworm and below-ground pests. Stand up for your corn with Narisma Insecticide. Ask your authorized BASF retailer about Narisma, and always read and follow label directions.
Lisa Potter joins us from Cutler Cranberry out of Juneau County. She says many people don't know that there are many varieties of cranberries, much like how there's so many different kinds of apples. She says Cutler Cranberry has been doing research trials to develop new varieties.
We've worked for a number of years, actually quite a few years, 20 years or more, with Rutgers University in New Jersey. We've also done a little bit of work with the UW in Madison, but we've helped to develop new varieties of cranberries for our market and for our industry. These varieties are, some of them are better for fresh fruit, some of them are just higher producers, better yield. They can breed for a lot of different things when they do those crosses. So we've been helpful in the field trials for a lot of those and helping develop varieties that are now very available to most growers.
Lisa Potter of Cutler Cranberry in Juneau County. The cranberry harvest is underway right now in Wisconsin. You can learn more by visiting the Wisconsin State Cranberry Growers Association online. We'll take a look at more agribusiness news next.
Microbials play a critical role in the health and vitality of livestock. I'm Dr. Bill Zimmer, veterinarian and founder of BioVet, your leading source for high-quality microbial and nutritional products that support growth, health, and production in livestock. Listen to our Microbials Matter podcast at bio-vet.com as experts discuss health, digestion, and support for livestock. Visit bio-vet.com and click on podcast.
Innovation, that's BioVet.
Wisconsin's soybean harvest is more than 90% done, and farmers are a whole month ahead of schedule. The corn for grain harvest follows at nearly halfway done and is 2 weeks ahead of the normal time frame. Farmers had almost a full 7 days perfect for getting field work done last week. The National Agricultural Statistics Service says warmer than normal temperatures are assisting in corn drying, and harvest is about finished for corn silage, potatoes, and vegetables. You can find the full crop progress report at MidwestFarmReport.com. I'm Stephanie Hoff.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
It is going to be mostly sunny and quite a bit cooler today with a high right around 50 this afternoon. Tonight, clear with a low in the low 30s. Tomorrow, with a little sun in the morning, then becoming mostly cloudy, breezy, some showers in the afternoon with a high in the low 60s. After that, a sunny, pleasant weekend. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 51.
Temperatures are falling, and with that, hoodie season. This season, show your personality through your clothes by customizing your long-sleeve shirts, sweatshirts, and more. Don't let today's style hold you back. Call Wham Incorporated today, 715-423-9465.
Fear you're missing out when you miss our conversations on air? You can always join the discussion on our social media channels. Find Civic Media on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can also find social media for specific shows and hosts on our website. Go to civicmedia.us.
Midday Magazine, talk radio that speaks with you, not at you. Join the conversation 4 to 5 Monday through Friday as we discuss local issues, events, and more. We'll be here interviewing some of your favorite local people. And find the podcast at civicmedia.us. Midday Magazine, a dialogue like no other. Only on WFHR, locally grown radio.
Maggie Dawn.
Next, I'll be joined by Minnie Timuraju, president of the Reproductive Freedom for All organization. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
Your children well, their father's health did slowly go by.
feed them on your dreams.
All right, welcome back to our homeroom segment that we do every Wednesday at 7:30 here on Up North News Radio. Coming up on 7:35 on this Wednesday morning, October 23rd. And we'll be visiting with our friend Heather Dubois-Bornon from the Wisconsin Public Education Network and Lisa Lucas from All In Wisconsin. All In Wisconsin has a mission statement that, again, who's against this? All In Wisconsin is a communications organization that centers our communities, disrupts dog whistles, and provides a narrative foundation to win racial justice. Lisa, good morning. I think you hit the nail on the head. I mean, somebody's got to do right in this election campaign, and it's not a small lift to fight dog whistles and misinformation.
Yeah. Good morning, Pat. Hi, Heather.
Hey.
Yeah, it's not, but it's so, so important, especially because we know, especially in a state like Wisconsin, where there's a lot of fear and despair mongering happening from the right and from our opposition, it's really important that we call that out and combat it in ways that don't hurt us.
Yeah. And Heather, you know, from a public education standpoint, the amount of either myths, misinformation, I'd argue disinformation, and ways to correct the record have meant you will never, ever be bored.
No, it's hard to be bored right now with so many people wondering what is on our ballot and what does it mean to our local kids? Like, how am I supposed to navigate all of these choices? I think there's a lot of disinformation and confusion right now, too, about all the referenda questions we're seeing for schools around the state. We've got a record number of schools going to referenda, 190 separate districts plus all over the state. This calendar year, 46% of Wisconsin's 421 districts have gone to referenda. It's staggering. It blows the old record out of the water. But the question is why, right? Are boards mismanaging funds? You know, I mean, it's one of the questions we get. And the answer is no, follow the money. Look to the state. We have 16 years in a row of state budgets that have failed to keep pace with inflation. And so taxpayers are being asked to, you know, dig deeper and make sure that we fill that gap. The good news is there are a lot of folks on the ballot who are ready to step up for public schools, and we can also vote for champions that will do better in delivering a stronger budget next year.
Yeah, I don't have any better way to put this into shorthand than to say you should be saying yes to the referendums. You should be saying no to the legislators that led to all of these referendums being on ballots. How much hope do you have, Heather, that with new maps, the chambers may not necessarily flip, but that was never the ultimate goal. It was really just to get a more competitive legislative races and maybe a legislature that is just talking to each other?
Yeah, and there's a real chance now to actually hold lawmakers accountable. I mean, with those ridiculously gerrymandered maps, folks were able to get away with some really bizarre positions that weren't aligned with the concerns and needs of local communities. And I think that era is bound to come to an end as these seats are more competitive. And so what we hope to see is more concern and care for what's happening in our public schools across all political opinions and some serious coming together on the things that matter most.
Yeah.
I mean, we have an opportunity now with still looking at a massive surplus to really start setting the course right for public schools, to fund special education, to pull back on the rampant spending on privatization, vouchers, and independent charters that's just sucking money away from the kids who need it most in our public schools. And so let's do it. It all starts with your vote at the ballot box. You can elect public school champions. And you can vote yes on referenda to make sure that kids have the resources they need right now to go back to school this year with more supports, because the state certainly isn't doing its job in that area.
Lisa, do you feel like you're having to talk to a lot of voters about the importance of voting down ballot? Because you do see that drop off, people that vote just in the presidential race and nothing else, or maybe the presidential and the U.S. Senate. And nothing else, even though there's legislative races, congressional races, referendums, constitutional amendments. Do you have to do a lot of communication along those lines?
You know, Usually that answer is yes, but this year it's a little bit different. People are paying attention more. And I think one of the things that we're focusing on, especially when it comes to school board races and referendum, is that we've been hearing a lot of stuff from opposition that's meant to divide us, right? A lot of scare tactics, a lot of things talking about curriculum and policies in schools that are just not meant to do anything except to distract us from what Heather was talking about, from what the state has actually done. But what we really know is that we have what it takes to give our kids the best education possible. So when we all come together, when we all go and vote this election, we can make sure that our kids have what they need to be able to think critically, to be able to respect each other, and to be able to grow into adults who can thrive in a diverse world.
Forgive the sarcasm, but Lisa, are you telling me that, unlike the words of a former president, do we not have boys going to school one day and coming home as girls? Because to hear that kind of talk and to hear the Eric Hovde ads and all the other ads, you'd swear that that's all that happens in school, are these things that are meant to, you know, generate these kinds of negative feelings about elections.
Yeah. And it's really meant to distract and make us fight each other so that we're not focusing on what's actually best for our kids, right? Because those are very emotionally driven arguments. What we know about doing this work for a long time is that facts have never gotten in front of framing, right? Facts have never gotten in front of perception. If they did, we would have fully funded public schools a really long time ago. Mm. Right. So we know what they're doing. We know why they're doing it. And I think letting voters know that that's part of the design of why these issues are being talked about is really important, because it's more beneficial for them to say all of these scare tactics and all of these fear mongering instead of owning up to the fact that schools need to be properly funded by the states and the states haven't stepped up. But we have an opportunity now in November to make sure that our kids don't fall through the cracks, because the state and the legislature is not going to do that for us unless we hold them accountable for it.
Right. And, you know, another part of that distraction deals with what I consider to be a blatant abuse of the constitutional referendum process. We have seen multiple instances where the Republican-controlled legislature has put questions on the ballot to amend the state constitution, either with language that basically is redundant, it's stuff that already exists or would have no net effect. And we have something like that on the ballot once again in November, don't we?
We absolutely do. Once again, just like in April, they're trying to erode voting rights through underhanded tactics, right? And they're using, once again, racially coded language to do it. So they can point the finger at people, so they can not actually use racist terms, so they can feign ignorance about what their intentions are. But we know that the wording on the ballot right now is designed to eventually undermine voter confidence and drive a wedge between all of our communities.
And Heather, that voter confidence that so many people are trying so hard to undermine, talk about what you're doing instead to motivate people to vote, that, you know, elections are fair and that they shouldn't just throw up their hands and say, well, I'm just going to stay home.
I think Wisconsin voters know how important their vote is to the everyday realities of our kids in their public schools. And so what we're seeing around the state are local teams that are stepping up to support their referenda, and we're supporting those teams as much as we can, urging people to understand who's running for office, where they stand on the positions that matter to kids, to get the facts, get educated, and get out the vote. We don't endorse candidates at Wisconsin Public Education Network, but we really encourage folks to be honest about their position on the issues. And what's alarming to me right now is how many candidates out there aren't completing candidate surveys by some of the nonprofit folks and nonpartisan organizations that I've been trying to collect that information. So I think voters should be really wary of people who aren't being absolutely clear on where they stand on supporting our public schools and on funding them at levels that really make sure that we're meeting kids' needs.
We're talking to Heather Dubois-Bornon and also to Lisa Lucas from All In Wisconsin. And I noticed a headline yesterday, Heather, out of Ashland, that said that amid accusations of anti-gay bullying, Ashland School Board directs officials to take action. And we've certainly seen in other school districts, we've seen debates over Title IX protections. We have seen just earlier this week, we talked about a school board member in Somerset being censured for just chauvinistic and social media posts that were, you know, basically trashing the school district that he ran for election to serve. And all of this is to, I think, just underscore the point that even after we get past this election, there will be the next round of school board elections. There will be a state Supreme Court election, not to mention the work that you're going to be doing, trying to help craft a state budget. So this work is going to go on far beyond 13 days from now.
It most certainly is. And we invite people to jump right on that moving train and join us in that work. We're holding a post-election debrief and budget action brainstorm session on November 7. It's going to be virtual, and I'm happy to share the link with you, Pat, so you can share it with your listeners. It's really time for us to come together, find people to run for local school board who understand that our schools need to be safe, welcoming, and thriving spaces where every single kid feels like they are welcomed and where they belong and where they have the resources that they need to thrive. We need to make sure that our teachers have what they need. And that all starts with us getting involved and making sure that we are being the watchdogs our kids need when folks step up to run for school board or other levels of office who might not have their best interests in mind.
And Lisa, from the standpoint of All In Wisconsin, once this election is passed, there's work that I'm sure will go on. What are you already looking toward on the horizon?
Well, yes, the election is one important part, but we're a long-term strategy building organization. So what we're really focusing on is countering the sort of rhetoric that you just mentioned in Ashland, which is not only misleading rhetoric, right, but it's also very dangerous. So it's from the same playbook that was used to incite political violence on January 6th, right? It's trying to undermine trust in our democratic processes. So our job is to remind people that these tactics, this rhetoric, has real consequences. They fuel hatred, they harm communities, and they're meant to distract us from actual issues that truly matter. So our job is to let people know what they're doing, like call out what this strategy is from the opposition, and to give people the tools that they need to be able to create their own vision and talk about what their own vision is, so that we're not just talking from the other side's playbook. Because if we keep using the other side's playbook to play our game, we're going to lose every time.
And that's why I like on the website for All In Wisconsin, which is allinwi.org. So allinwi.org. There's a section in there simply titled "Don't take the bait." What's right. that about?
A lot of times people with such good intentions just try to repeat what the other side is saying, and even to refute it. And we know that that actually doesn't work, right? Because what happens when people just repeat something, even to say that it's not true, is that we passively prompt up the strength of the opposition, and we deepen people's subconscious beliefs about the thing that they are trying to refute. So for example, during COVID, there was a lot of hand-wringing about the vaccine, and there were billboards in California that I think the health department put up that said, "This vaccine does not make you radioactive."
Oh,
which
boy.
Like, calls to mind the idea that maybe this vaccine makes you radioactive, right? So it just puts things in people's heads that aren't there already. So what we really need to do is focus on what we believe in, what our vision is, and tell people what we wish that they would do. We need to say what we're for, because it's not enough to be against something, right? Nature abhors a vacuum. Messaging also abhors a vacuum. So if we aren't filling it up with our own space and our own things, people are going to fill it in with what the other side is already telling them.
Yes. And I've mentioned earlier that with Heather and the Public Education Network, and their website is wisconsinnetwork.org. There is a great section there called Accountability in Action, where you can get the facts on public school funding and the impact of the ongoing effort to try to privatize schools. Republicans now have us taxpayers paying for two parallel school systems in this state. Learn more at wisconsinnetwork.org. Heather, Lisa, thank you both so very much for all the work that you're doing and for spending some time here today.
Thanks, Pat.
Thanks for having us, Pat.
You bet. Todd Alba from the conveniently named Todd Alba Show is next. You're up north.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids' home of Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
A lot can happen in 25 years, especially in the swamps of Washington, D.C. When we first elected her, Tammy Baldwin focused on Wisconsin. But Baldwin changed. Today, she rakes in campaign cash from left-wing groups and does their bidding. Baldwin supports forcing women's domestic violence shelters in Wisconsin to admit biological men, making survivors of domestic violence sleep in the same building as men. She supported puberty blockers and sex change surgeries for minor children in Wisconsin. Baldwin even voted to send stimulus checks to criminals in jail, including the Boston Marathon bomber. We thought we knew Tammy Baldwin, but she's changed. Now it's time for us to make a change. Replace Tammy Baldwin. Senate Leadership Fund paid for and is responsible for the content of this advertising, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee. www.senateleadershipfund.org.
Join Lou Rugani for the Music of the Stars every Sunday morning from 7 a.m. until noon. Lou brings back the nostalgia from the golden age of radio with the music, drama, and comedy shows that made radio magic. Music of the Stars is sponsored by Lakeland Care, providing personalized support that aims to improve quality of life and maintain independence for elders and those with disabilities. It's the Music of the Stars, Sunday at 7 on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR, locally grown radio.
Worthington, Minnesota continues to shine. It's worth a look. We've expanded so many things. It's a time of growth. We've expanded recreation activities with our indoor ice arena, our indoor turf rec center and playground, and our outdoor water park, Worthington, Minnesota. It's worth a look. Our schools have expanded, and so has our industry. We're continuing to expand our population also, with lots ready to build on Glenwood Heights. So let's grow together in Worthington, Minnesota. It's worth a look.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
And Dwight Yoakam has a birthday today. Todd Alba joins us. He's having a little coffee out on the balcony there. The beautiful fall colors behind him. Mr. Alba, good morning.
Good morning. You could not have picked a better song.
I
saw Dwight Yoakam once, Richland Center, my hometown in southwest Wisconsin. Used to have a big star-spangled celebration. Big country acts used to come in. Dwight Yoakam was there one year. He is one of my favorite artists, and if you've never dialed up or bought his CD album or downloaded the album, it's simply called Dwight. I think it's Dwight Yoakam, the acoustic album, and there's like 20 songs on there, and it's either just him and a guitar or very little, you know, background. And my God, he sings this rendition of A Thousand Miles Away, or A Thousand Miles From Nowhere is the song. Yeah. And I turned that up in the summer and rolled down my windows in the truck and go way over the speed limit across the hills in southwest Wisconsin. He's just one of those guys that's enormously talented. So
yes, absolutely. Yes.
Good. Great job there. Tomorrow on the program, State Representative Steve Doyle. Then we'll have Luann Bird, a candidate for Assembly, in our Women Win Wisconsin segment, powered by Motherhood for Good. And, of course, Joe Zepecki. What are you two snickering at?
Fantastic. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. I'm sure Representative Doyle will be a fine guest.
He will.
Boy.
You have some tea you'd like to spill over here, Todd Father?
No, I think nothing of that would not be.
Allow me to save you from yourself and move on to say that Senator Tammy Baldwin will be on with Earl Ingram in a matter of minutes here.
Wow.
And Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez will be on Matt and Air on Air with Jane and Craig coming up at 10:30, right? Yes, 10:35.
10:30.
Add to that spectacular lineup. Pat Kreitlow on the Todd Alba Show.
Yeah, meanwhile, on the undercard, Todd is slacking.
Stop it.
And he's just booking me and Trigvy to make old age jokes about each other over here.
Good Lord.
As we quickly turn the Todd Alba Show into like Sunny Acres retirement community for all the age jokes that go back and forth.
Today's topic is the rock and roll music too loud.
right?
God. Oh, are you hanging in there? I'm going to tell you, you can tell we're all a little punch drunk here with a couple weeks left, you know?
Yeah.
And I think perhaps the way that this is best summed up is, you know, people write blogs and newsletters and things all over the place. And you see them on Substack and elsewhere. And I can't believe how many times I've seen a headline that's something like this. How is this race even close?
Yeah.
And I think that sums up where many Americans are right now with, like, what is this? And look, again, nobody wins by, you know, insulting fellow voters. But we've definitely got something to talk about after this election, whatever the case may be, to say, what is it that people thought they were hearing from Donald Trump? And, you know, what do we need to do about that? Because I'll say again, Todd, Eric Hovde, for all the anti-trans ads, he didn't get in the Senate race about anti-trans issues. He got in this race to pass tax cuts for rich people, but that's his way in. The same goes for everything that Restoration PAC is running against Tammy Baldwin, which is the one owned by Dick Eline, a billionaire. It doesn't care less about crime or the border or LGBTQ issues. This is about tax cuts for the wealthy. And yet somehow it's not connecting with folks because they're much more riled up by the, oh yeah, we can't have boys becoming girls in a day in classrooms. Lordy, these schools can't afford printer paper. How are they affording to do surgeries in school?
Every time I hear this stuff, every time I think about it, I think of that SNL sketch, John Lovitz as Michael Dukakis, who utters the famous words,
"I can't believe I'm losing to this guy."
I can't tell you how many times I played that in 2012, knowing that I was losing a congressional race to Sean Duffy. I'm like, I can't believe I'm losing to this guy. But, you know, that is part of the mystery of election campaigning, yeah. Todd, is what resonates and what doesn't.
Well done, Mr. Bach. Our friend Trigby called me last night, actually, from Lincoln Project to talk about today's show. And I picked up the phone and said, "Trigby, what's up?" And he says, "Todd, why is it so close?"
See?
Yeah.
And he's a guy who's looking at a lot of numbers. I think number one, as people like Trigby who see a lot of numbers, legit numbers, have said, is despite what you're hearing in polls, folks, the race has been very consistent. Yes, it's been close, but it stayed very consistent. And I think that's just reiterates why it's so important, as our friend Luke Mathers likes to say, be a voter, have a plan to vote. Yesterday marked the first day where we could all vote in person early. I would encourage all of us to do that. I'm going to be doing that. That's my plan, to be a voter. But look, it's to your point earlier, Pat, I don't know why some of this stuff is catching on and getting traction. I think it goes back. We played this cut yesterday from Vice President Harris, where I thought her compassion, her empathy, and her understanding were on full display. And she told a crowd over the last couple of days, she said, "Look, I get it. There's a lot of anxiety, and that's okay. But now is exactly the time that we cannot give up. If you're anxious, vote. If you're anxious, talk to someone else and get them to vote. And we just have to hang in there, you know." I'm sure none of our bosses like this. I said yesterday, when you hear ads on the radio or television, turn them off. When you get mailers in the mail, throw them into the recycling. Don't look at any advertising. Don't listen from anybody from here on out. Just don't listen to it. Trust your gut. Trust your gut. That's my message, Pat.
Yeah, because right now it's about motivating people to turn out or motivating people to stay home. And so don't think that there's any more persuasion that's going on here. So if you're going to vote early and then tell friends to vote. That's the only true way out of this mess. Todd Alba's back at noon. Thank you very much, sir. Appreciate it.
My pleasure.
All right, Mr. Bach is back in 2 hours with Matt Nair on air. And as mentioned, tomorrow we have Joe Zepecki and folks running for legislative office here across Wisconsin. Up North News Radio, back tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Have a great Wednesday. See you tomorrow, Up North.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez will be here to talk early voting, our number two public service announcement, and this shouldn't be a thing. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
It was a Christmas snowstorm.
My whole leg swelled up. My doctor said to get to the ER immediately. Surgery went well, but then I got billed. I struggled with the VA bureaucracy for months. Then I called Tom Tiffany. 9 days later, the VA paid my bill. The doctor saved my leg, Tom saved me from medical debt, and he got me my veteran benefits when no one else could.
Paid for by Tiffany for Wisconsin.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.